So you're saying that it's not possible at the moment to have multiple characters created by AI because when they interact on the screen, things go wrong. You get artifacts or it does, they just don't interact correctly.
That's my perception at the moment, and I hope that remains to be true for
Yeah, and because
that.
I mean, my feeling is that anything that is wrong, like the six finger thing that is now, it's a thing of the past. They'll fix it. They'll work out. So if characters don't interact correctly because when they cross over, the physics isn't quite right, I think that's something they're going to fix.
You're listening to Riding the Showbiz Wave with me, John Fowler.
And me, Drew Masters. So this week we're talking about AI. In the news, it's all over the news at the moment. Tilly Norwood, this AI-generated actress, is allegedly generating huge amounts of interest from agents who want to sign her up. What's your take on that?
I'm an old romantic, and it makes me go cold even giving her a name. And I say that because she is an AI developed actress and a very beautiful, classically almost flawless facsimile. Can we say that?
I mean, they're saying she's a sort of girl next door look, but I've never lived next door to anyone who looks like that.
As I say, it makes me it does make my blood run cold when I see someone who is given a name and the associated press suggesting that this actress is being sought after by agencies. I can't imagine an agency doing it for anything other than novelty, notoriety. And I think that the danger will be, as with any big successful agency, that their current roster. I can't
Well,
imagine.
this is what I was going to ask you. I mean, surely if you're an actor with an agent and your agent takes on an AI, it's the beginning of the end for your career. I mean, that surely says a lot about what your agent thinks of you and your profession.
And I believe that that theory that we are now espousing will prevail. I cannot imagine, unless if I were an actor and my agent had invested time, money, and taken on an AI actor, I would immediately fire my agent, because I think it goes against every grain that I have of what I know about this business, and certainly in terms of acting, which is still relatively unharmed by AI and data. One can't say the same about the music business, where synthesized music's been around for decades, so one. I hope that the acting.
So, where are some good examples of good use of AI in acting? I mean, the first thing that springs to my mind is if you're an actor who wants to do some amazing stunt, but you're not capable of doing that, that seems like a really good use of AI.
Well, again, I would
I mean, they're
argue
doing that already.
that yes, of course they are, and crowd scenes, I mean, big, massive interpretations can be so easily done and generated by the computers. That's been the way for a long time. What really, and I actually think that works very well.
Yeah, I mean,
Science
AI
is
is really
science.
just a continuation of all the CGI that we've been doing for decades.
Totally. And also, it's somewhat science fiction, and that fiction has now become blurred. So it's science, I think, from a science fiction perspective. I'm sure it will add brilliantly to science fiction genre. I haven't got a problem with that at all. I just think that when you are reproducing a human, I mean, let's face it, acting is about a human pretending to be another human or their interpretation of another very human.
Well, you've brought up a really interesting thing because which I hadn't previously thought of, which is, and by the way, my take here is I probably agree with you, but it will be a very boring conversation if I just agree with you on everything. So I'm going to actually deliberately take a slightly devil's advocate point of view and argue for AI just so that we can actually really get to the bottom of these issues. And actually something that you've just picked up on is that actually it's someone pretending to be something else, someone else. And that's quite interesting because I remember, for example, when Jagged Edge came out. That's a very old movie for a lot of people, I suspect.
Courtroom drama.
Courtroom drama about a...
Glenn Close?
It could have been.
Anyway.
About someone who was a murderer, who committed a murder. And I remember coming out of that cinema with my friends and my friends saying, wow, that was amazing. You know, it had no... You know, it just didn't strike me that he was a killer. And it's like, it was an actor because he wasn't a killer. You know, I mean, to me, the suspension of disbelief only runs so far. And actually, you could argue that there is no difference between an AI pretending to be something and a human pretending to be something.
Okay, then from my personal perspective, and again, this is a question that is overarching all of this. What's the point? What's the point in being an actor? You know, and I feel very...
Well, I sort of think it's the other way around, isn't it? So what's the point in being the audience? Because actually, for the actor, that's your job. That's what you want to do, and it's what you love, and it's what gives you satisfaction and pleasure in life. But you don't necessarily have an entitlement to that. From an audience perspective, you're watching stories. It's, you know, we're communicating stories. It's just part of a long, rich history of storytelling that humans have. So reversing my argument against AI for the moment, I mean, my opinion has always been, I think as yours, that there is no value to me as a human seeing a story enacted by a machine. It doesn't tell me anything about the human experience. Even if you go back to movies with robots, they were almost always acted by humans. You know, you've got Korg in the MCU, played by Taika Waititi, who's, you know, amazing. But, you know, it was a CGI character, not a robot, but, you know, a big sort of thing. and he, you know, CGI character, but voiced by and played by an actor. You know, even same with those little, you know, I mean, C-3PO.
Star Wars has a huge human element, and I think that was part of the incredible appeal.
So storytelling is a human thing, and, you know, why do we need machines to be doing that for us?
So that begs the bigger question, why bother at all? So
why are people bothering? What are they seeing? Was it like just money? Is it just because they can?
I think that life will always, and it should always try and break down the barriers to further, you know, societies, and there will be incredible developments in AI which are already helping. Medicine and all that wonderful stuff that goes on in the field of in our world. I'm looking at this latest iteration of an act and thinking, well, why bother? What's the upside here? You're going to have to pay someone to develop this, probably quite a comprehensive job to develop this AI when a human can get out of bed in half an hour, be on set doing as they are asked. And so I think there is I'm very, very interested to see if this will ever catch on.
And I guess, interestingly, you know, does that actor rely on the same person programming it or prompting it every time? Because is it its own character? You know, I don't know how the AI has been developed, but, you know, is it its own kind of self-contained person-like character now? Or does it, you know, just will a different prompt from a different person get a different performance out?
So does it read a script?
Yeah. Does it understand the script? It certainly doesn't understand it, because if it's using large language modeling, which is, you know what, ChatGPT, Claude, all that stuff is using. It doesn't understand anything it reads. It just is really, really good at putting words in an order that makes sense.
I'm fairly confident within 24, 48 hours of this story having broken, there will be a furore like no other by the establishment and
Do you think it's going to happen before we can get this out?
I'm no doubt this story.
We're going to be old taking more with the full.
It will be old news. And, you know, for our listener, for a very loyal listener, there will be things that we are talking about which may seem like very old news, but we can only go so quickly.
But I think that also the actual, you know, even if Tilly Norwood as an individual, I was going to call her. I mean, I'm already calling her. I mean, it's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I mean, even if that is old news by, you know, the weekend, it's an issue for our industry. It's an issue for the music industry, for books, for scripts. Certainly, and we've touched on this before, but, you know, I have a friend who is a showrunner, script writer on some major, major shows, and she doesn't think she'll have a job in 2 years. That is pretty terrifying.
Mm. My natural instinct is to say I just don't see it ever being a comprehensive takeover of that industry. I think there will be huge advances and huge benefits to your cinematic experience using AI, which, as you say, already happens, but you know, people like people. People have liked idols for decades and decades, and they want to see people's flaws and people's humanity. And you know,
I think they like seeing people. I certainly like seeing people working bloody hard to achieve something incredible. I mean, that really moves me when I see that. I, you know, get incredibly emotional when I'm watching a film or I'm at a concert or wherever it is, and I'm seeing a performance and somebody really doing something that is more than just, you know, I woke up this morning, did this thing, and you know, that's it. Someone's actually put some time and effort into their craft. And
yeah, an AI performer draws from what?
They draw from every other performer because that's what they've learned from. And this is one of the arguments that people are having at the moment, is that, you know, has this AI actor learned to act from watching other people acting? You know, she will be an amalgamation of all the things that she's learned from watching other people. Every eye movement, every facial expression, every nuance in and timing in the way she speaks will be learned from someone else. But then, 'twas ever thus. That's what humans do. We watch someone else's performance and we learn from it. We listen to someone else play the piano. We you know, whatever it is, we listen to someone's record and we love the sound of that.
So an AI interpretation, nothing about that is unique.
Well, that's an interesting question. Is it unique because it's put a number of parts together in a way that had never been put together before, in the same way that a pop song could be a number of parts that seem familiar?
But every note that Chris Martin sings every night of every concert of singing the same song, every note that he sings will be different and may have a different interpretation on various levels at various times.
Yeah.
And that the human interpretation, I think, is, and says actors, certainly when actors perform Shakespeare, there are so many different interpretations.
Well, and of course you're coming on to another thing, which is the interaction between actors. I saw a really interesting video this week, which was about Evie Templeton, who is in Wednesday, and she's a new character that came in season 3, and she's absolutely fantastic. I mean, she's brilliant in it. And she sent in this self-tape, did an audition, and then what I was coming to, which I think is interesting, was she then did a chemistry reading with the two lead actresses. And I think that what's interesting about that is I hadn't really come across that. I mean, I'm not in the world of acting. I mean, when I come in to write music for a film or a drama, the actors have long finished. I mean, they've had their rap party by then. I'm literally, you know, in post, which is done quite a long time after. So I never get to see this, and it just never occurred to me it was a thing. But obviously it's a thing, because actually, you know, if you've got no chemistry between your main characters on screen, it shows. And so going back to our Tilly Norwood, how does she get any chemistry? I mean, she could potentially, you know, the AI could watch the scene without her character in and learn from it. But that's only one way. The actor, any actor acting opposite her, isn't going to have an opportunity to have any kind of interaction. And of course, you could say this is exactly the same as any working with any CGI character, which happens an awful lot. You know, people that have to act opposite or acting opposite themselves if they're playing twins. Or
my sort of final response is that you can't possibly obtain chemistry with an AI character. I find that very hard.
And does that mean that the audience will never get that sense of chemistry, even from a solo performance, that chemistry between the audience and the actor?
This goes back to our earlier discussions about, do you have to tell people, advise people that they are watching is computer generated?
Well, I think they'll probably know a lot of the time. But I think, you know, ultimately, when we watch these things, I mean, Wednesday's a great example. I watch it with my kids, but it's, you know, it's great for adults as well. It's a phenomenal series, and the acting is great. It's quite fun. It doesn't take itself too seriously, but it's, you know, the chemistry is palpable on set, and that's what you enjoy. The story is, it's the characters and it's the people, and it goes back to what you always say, which is,
with people, people want, people like people, you know, people like people over product. And that's why I think it's going to be very interesting how this plays out.
I mean, how is it solved? Because at the moment, people are developing AI things. I mean, it is to go to the, you know, the traditional thing with when you're developing an app or any kind of program, it's like, what problem are you trying to solve here? What problem are they trying to solve?
This is a good question. What's the point? Are you saving that much money? Are you saving the fact they don't need a hotel and they don't need per diems? I mean, I'm not buying that.
They never get old. I mean, is that a good thing?
No, I completely would rally against that.
So a lot of actors who I think got a lot better with age.
Yeah, I'm not buying it. Let's put it that way. I'm not buying it. It'll absolutely run its course in the press, and it's a huge novelty story. But I generally think that certainly in the acting profession, it will have just so much resistance. Summer closing parties, Oasis tour came and went hugely successfully. Very strong rumors they're going to do another set of dates next year.
Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Four Nebworths.
I mean, I think they should be celebrating the fact that they didn't punch each other in the face and just go.
I think it's lovely. I actually do. I'm an old romantic, but the fact that the British public, you know, paid a lot of money to go and sing out of tunes, they very, very expensive, drink very expensive lager.
So we'll come back to that in a second, but just sticking with Oasis for one second. Oh, I mean, you know them from, you know, your days at Sony, and we've talked about this before, but I mean, you looked after their marketing internationally when they started out. So, you know, you've got as good an inside knowledge of them as anyone. I mean, do you think that perhaps they're enjoying it more now than they did when they were young? Do you think they've grown up?
I think so, and it certainly would appear so. I mean, the bottom line is, not only here, but the bottom line is the bottom line, and in this particular instance, I would think they are making eye-watering sums of money. I mean eye-watering, because of the size and of venues. Now, listen, it's not...
They must have made so much money that they don't know what to do with it.
Well... yes and no. I think that the difference between when they started out and now is that they can really see the business aspect. You know, I'm sure that, you know, for a few years it was, you know, okay, you know, relatively high income, but that was 20, 30 years ago.
Do you think their songs are not still played all the time on the radio?
I think they've had a decent publishing income, but that would only be Noel, really.
Was Liam not down as a writer?
No, I think for a time they were paid as a band, the original lineup, but I think that changed with the various changeovers. And you know, as you know, corporate music business is at corporate levels of money, and so I think it's a different level of success, and I think that they're probably old enough to realise that, crikey, we only have to do this for a couple more years.
Yeah, and
that really.
Do you
is
just it? Wonder if that? So I've heard that they have, you know, completely separate everything. They've got separate managers, separate, you know, touring arrangements, and they. You know, and I guess that's, you know, strategy they've put in place so that they don't fall out. But, you know, it does seem, you know, I just do wonder if they've just actually realized that it's a whole load of fun playing huge stadiums and playing those old songs. And
I
maybe in a way they didn't before.
I just think, you know, you can tell they seem to be having a good time. I think they are socializing together. And I understand that there is a level of mutual respect there. Again, do not overlook the fact that this level of respect is earning them many, many millions of pounds. And that sounds terribly cynical, but, you know, why not? Why not? Every review I've read, every person who's been to see has said they've had the time of their life, and it really was.
So I interrupted you earlier, and actually I'll come back to it now. For me, I love small gigs, and you know, I've been to quite a few small gigs and I really enjoyed them. I love the intimacy of it. I love, you know, I like being there at the start of things, seeing acts when they're just honing their craft and they're a little bit raw still. My worst nightmare is like a massive stadium gig where it takes like 2 hours to get in and 5 hours to get out, and basically for the whole of the gig the band is so far away that I can't see them other than watching it on a screen, and everyone around me is just screaming out of tune. That's just literally, I mean, it's just like very expensive, bad karaoke.
There is an element of the gig goer in this day and age that just wants to be there and say, I was there. And it's an emotional attachment to a moment, you know. I remember very fondly in 1996, the football, the European Championships. We had a big record out at Sony at the time, the Lightning Thief track. I remember the 2012 Olympics very clearly. I remember the feeling that it was very, very joyous and that kind of thing. And I think, you know, and it sounds again quite cheesy, but society likes these moments. And I think this Oasis tour is one of those moments. And I think, you know, people are coming out of it. Regardless, and you're right, yes, it's a big venue and travel has been very problematical, and lager is a very expensive, you know, item to buy in these stadiums, but it seems to work.
Something I'm going to bring back to you know, maybe next time is, you know, this issue with people buying tickets, concerts selling out, and then them reselling them almost immediately for hugely inflated prices. That just seems desperately unfair, almost fraudulent, and just really mean, if nothing else. So, you know, let me do a bit of research, look into what we can, you know, offer as solutions, because I don't know what the solutions are, but we need to do something. Instinctively, I feel this isn't right, and this doesn't promote a happy and healthy industry for the fans. You've been listening to Riding the Showbiz Wave with me, Drew Masters, and
myself, John Fowler.
Join us next time when we'll be talking about something else.